unionism. The agriculture workers.
Each day, strikers stand on the highway trying to persuade others to leave the fields and join them. Those who do can easily be replaced.
Under a relentless California sun in 1965, Filipino farm workers in Delano, California are being led by Larry Itliong for better working conditions. Temperatures rise as high as 108 degrees, and the life expectancy for farm workers is 49 years old. They're tired of meager wages, brutal conditions, and being treated as expendable. Their anger erupts into a daring strike, blazing a path of resistance that soon captures the nation's attention. Their frustration and bold stand lays the groundwork for the most crucial farmworker movement in the history of the United States. I'm discussing Cesar Chavez and the Delano Grape Strike. Agriculture was seen as this great exception when it came to unionism. When the Wagner Act was passed in 1935, and later the Taft-Hartley Act in 1947, it granted private sector employees the right to unionize, but farm workers were not included. Millions of American workers were without industrial citizenship, without a warrant to claim anything more than a fading piece of the American dream. Larry Itliong unified the Filipinos under the principle that they were simply not being treated fairly. On September 7th, 1965, 1,500 Filipinos picketed. Now, there were a range of consequences for this action, and I don't have time to go into all of them. Growers used intimidation and violence to crush the strikers. Worse, growers broke the strike. Though Mexicans and Filipinos socialized in town, in the fields, they were separate. When one picketed, growers could pay either side and break the other's strike. Mexicans walk through the picket, and they take up the Filipinos' work. A week passes, and Larry Itliong calls on the man who leads the Hispanics, Cesar Chavez. Cesar Chavez's early life laid the groundwork for his commitment to farmworker rights. Born in 1927, Chavez grew up amid the economic turmoil of the Great Depression. His family lost their Arizona homestead when local banks refused loans to Mexican Americans, forcing his family to migrate to California and search for stable employment. In fact, 30,000 farmers from Oklahoma and Arizona drove their cars and whatever else they could bring as they sought work in California. From age 11 to 17, Chavez worked the fields alongside his parents. He escaped by joining the Navy and serving in the Pacific in 1944, at the tail end of World War II. His experience in the fields, coupled with his service in the U.S. Navy, shaped his desire to fight systemic inequalities faced by farm workers. His marriage in 1948 and subsequent mentorship under Priest McDonnell introduced him to readings on labor history and nonviolent activism. These formative years provided him with both the motivation and the moral framework to pursue large-scale reform in agricultural labor. He knew from years of working in the fields and living in labor camps that farm workers are treated more like animals than human beings. He joined the California Service Organization in 1952 as a volunteer, later becoming its director. His job was getting the poor to register to vote and become a political power bloc. In the first 2 months, he had 4,000 people registered. In the 8 years he was with the CSO, he helped 30,000 Mexican-Americans obtain citizenship. He left the CSO in 1962, and with the help of Dolores Huerta and his brother, Richard Chavez, he formed the National Farm Workers Association, which would later just become the United Farm Workers, UFW. Chavez wanted to concentrate on helping those he felt were most discriminated against. Cesar Chavez focused much of his advocacy on behalf of migrant farm workers, many of whom were exploited due to their social and economic vulnerability. These workers fell outside many of the traditional labor protections. Chavez sought to bring them together under a collective banner, fighting for fair wages, safer working conditions, and the dignity they deserved within an agricultural system that frequently took advantage of their marginalized status. Okay, we're back in 1965. Although Chavez did not feel that his organization was ready for a strike, he could not deny the support of his brothers. He called for a vote by members of the NFWA, and 2,700 voted to support the Filipinos and join the strike. This began the Delano Grape Strike, and it lasted 5 years. One of the leading table grape growers consistently referred to the event as the so-called strike, insisting most workers were still in the fields. The UFW ridiculed the statements. They doubled down on the existence of a massive, widespread strike. They argued that farm workers across California's Central Valley were taking a stand. But the growers' position was far closer to the truth. Because either necessity or choice, most workers after the first few weeks returned to work. Even in the first few years, the vast majority of people on the picket lines were not farm workers. The issues that obstructed prior strikes existed here. Migrant workers filled spots, and growers and their allies still possessed political, economic, and social power over their workforce. Additionally, opposing unions, such as the Teamsters, sought control over members of the UFW and created a two-pronged war with them. Tensions rose when two farm workers were killed while striking. A 24-year-old picket captain struck in the head by a metal flashlight by a sheriff deputy. Another, a 60-year-old seasonal worker shot and killed in a drive-by by non-union workers. Something had to change. Chavez called off the strike, and he began another non-violent tactic, the boycott. The boycott is what we know today. Chavez pioneered a corporate campaign, a cross-cultural alliance, the connection with clergy, students, and progressive political figures. They addressed their issues by having all levels of a class hierarchy understand the deep personal struggles at the lowest level. Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta urged Americans nationwide not to buy table grapes. Activists traveled across the country, speaking at community events, churches, schools, and universities, sharing stories about grueling conditions, poverty-level wages, and the injustice faced by farm workers. They handed out flyers, organized picket lines at grocery stores, and enlisted the support of influential public figures and civil rights leaders to amplify their message. They educated the general public, bringing them into the fight against struggle. Their personal appeals and grassroots organizing led to the boycott to capture national attention, leading to millions of everyday consumers to join their cause. The historic contracts signed were not won by workers in the fields. They were won through the boycott, by people in the cities, and primarily because the frustration of supermarkets who are boycott targets and no longer wanted to suffer financially for the labor difficulties of California grape growers. Decades upon decades of power shifting to the agricultural industry collapses. Consumers question their consumerism and begin to link the produce on grocery shelves to the people who grew it. The boycott sparked a broader food justice movement in which consumers realized their collective power to demand fair, ethical labor practices. Chavez and Itliong not only organized the largest and most effective boycott since the colonists threw tea in the Boston Harbor, but the UFW did what no other farmer movement had ever done, gotten a truly progressive labor law enacted against an industry that bitterly resisted such a legislative innovation. The year is 1975. California passes the California Agricultural Labor Relations Act, granting farm workers the right to hold elections in the fields and become members of a union. By doing so, farm workers could finally have the same protections granted to other workers in 1935. Addressing crowds, Chavez told them that finally, after 40 years of being denied the right to organize, they could join a union and have the same protections guaranteed to other laborers. An 8-hour workday, a 40-hour workweek, clean drinking water and toilets in the fields, and higher wages so their children could go to school instead of working in the fields. All things most workers took for granted. Community organizing, corporate campaigns, consumer boycotts, and a high level of political engagement. These are hallmarks of the UFW at the height of its creativity and power. Chavez marked this victory with a march across California, drawing thousands of supporters, union leaders, and religious figures who rallied in solidarity. The march symbolized hope and momentum for farm workers on the brink of a widespread institutional change.